gotten one of these cards and put your name on it, would you raise your hand and Brother Eric will get them to you real quick? Have somebody help you, Brother Eric. Somebody grab one side. Brother Tim will get this left-hand side. Brother Eric, you get this side. Raise your hands real high so they can see them. Real high. Look at this. My brother Bob and his wife is hoping that one of these make it to Iraq. We want Daniel to find one, so we're going to pray about that, all right? Pray nobody shoots it down before it gets over there. Now, if you rode a Sunday school bus, you've already had one of these filled out. You may not have filled it out, but your workers already filled it out. So if you rode a Sunday school bus, now I want you to put your name on them right now. Right now. What? Why are you waving at me? You still don't have one? All right, right back here. Brother Dennis Scales. He wants the prize. Yes, sir. Is that right? Hey, you know. And I may have you fill it out right now. If you need a pen, raise your hand. We'll get some kind of writing. I got an extra pen here if somebody needs it. We good? And then if you'll pass them right back to the middle, I'm going to get this taken care of before we get started. Let's get everybody in, get you seated. We're getting ready to start here. You're going to enjoy this morning. Boy, I'll tell you, there's something wonderful about Easter Sunday morning. Just wake up, you can feel it. And it's tremendous to have you here as part of our service. We got it all taken care of. Anybody else? Right here? Right over. There we go. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah, need one turned in? This is it. It's your last chance. All right. Everybody taken care of. Got it. Brother Dennis. All right, we got him. He's got five now. Okay, that's good. That's good. Hey. Yes. I won't tell you what I turned it into, but I turned it in. All righty. Let's get the back doors closed, and we'll get ready to start. Fantastic. Let me welcome you to Blessed Hope Baptist Church in our Easter Sunday service. We have a wonderful, wonderful group of young people that attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And they are one of the sources of this preacher, one of the sources of greatest blessings in my life is getting to watch and see what God is doing in the life of our teenagers and our children here. And I think most of the adults here feel exactly the same way, amen? And so they have worked very hard, and they are going to put on about a 15-minute musical presentation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So at this time, we'll begin.
Died for me, and I. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold, your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.
The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water.
Fires above sprang up. precious blood has covered me.
When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said to them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him."
Thank you. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay.
Thank you. stand for this song. Number 31, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always dear. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. He lives. Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation.
Blessing, folks. Give you a good report. The little boy's fine. And I think he locked his knees or something. And anyway, he's doing real good. I think maybe he just wanted to get out of it. Didn't want to do it all along and figure this is the way I get off the stage before anybody. So, but he really is. He's doing fine. And isn't it wonderful that Christ arose? And young people, you did a fabulous job, I think, of bringing honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And I know that stirred my heart, so that was good. Well, we're going to take our morning offering. Brother Chuck, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, yes, your Son Jesus lives, and He's coming again. We thank You so much for allowing Him to come down to the earth as God manifested in the flesh and died on the cross to pay our sin debt.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, Father, if there's anyone here that's not saved today,
Amen.
Thank you.
We do want to recognize our visitors real quickly, and then we'll have a special, and we'll go right into the message. But if you're visiting here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let me first of all say thank you so much for coming and being a part of our service. It's just wonderful to have you. We have a visitor's packet that we put together especially in anticipation of you being here. And so if you just simply raise your hand, our ushers will come right to you and give you a visitor's packet. Raise them high so that they can see you. You'll want to get this packet, and it has some very nice things in it. There is a card on the outside of it that we would like to you to fill out so that we'd have a record of your visit. You can just hand that card to me as you go out the door or lay it back there on the back information desk. We usually have you put it in the offering plate, but our schedule's a little upside down. But visitors, thank you so much. Did we miss anyone? If you're visiting here, would you pop your hand up, make sure that we've taken care of everybody? Thank you so very much. It's wonderful to have you.
He molded and built a small lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow to be thorns that would make his son bleed. Then he made a green stem, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain, and sheltered it with moss. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life. With love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created. With great love for man, God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected, and mocked. Still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life. With love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created. With great love for man, God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. Nothing took his life. With love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created. With great love for man, God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free.
Well, we've certainly been blessed this morning, haven't we? sitting back there thinking, if all you came to hear was the music, the honest truth is enough of the gospel's been given that if you're lost, you'll know how to be saved this morning. But we're going to preach 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I want to just say to everyone present here, I mean this, I thank you for honoring the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary's cross, his burial and resurrection, by being here on this Easter day. You know, I know that there's a lot of things that you could have been doing. The world has its activities too. And many, many, matter of fact, the great masses, most of humanity, will go through this day and give very little thought to what it's truly about. But it's well spoken of you that you came this morning and you said, you know what, this is an important day. This is the Lord's day. And this is the day we set aside to remember his resurrection. And you know what, I'm going to go to church. That says a great deal about you. And so thank you for being here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. We'll let you stand one last time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12, if you'll direct your attention there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. For if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And we're going to preach on this subject this morning, the supreme importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The supreme importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so stirred this morning as we have participated, Lord, some by singing and some by observation, in this morning service, to hear all of these beautiful songs and so well done. And Lord, not just the music and not just the talent, but the spirit and heart behind all that has happened. Lord, we have felt your presence here, and we're thankful for that. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless even these last remaining few minutes as we focus in for a few minutes and preach the word of God. Lord, we ask that you would move our hearts, Lord, yea, yet higher, and do those things, Lord, in our hearts that you want to see accomplished. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. The supreme importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter, moved and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, is writing this letter to a local church, and he's trying to fix something that has begun to spread amongst the congregation. And Paul was very diligent when it came to guarding the flock. If he started a church and founded a church, and news came back to him that some false doctrine had begun to creep into the church, Paul was proactive. Paul got with it. He immediately tried to address the issue and stop the backsliding and stop the false doctrine from spreading and corrupting the church. Look at me and listen to me, folks. Do you know what? Nothing will corrupt a congregation faster than false doctrine. That's why we have to stay true to the Bible. We can't get up and preach what men think or what we read in some book that we bought down at the Christian bookstore or got out of the library. What we've got to do as preachers of the gospel and preachers of God's word is stay very true to what the scriptures say and preach the scriptures and keep things right down the line. What was this false doctrine that had begun to creep through the church? Well, Paul says this in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. I don't think that this was a problem from the pulpit by what he says here. Now, sometimes false doctrine will come into a church because you'll get a wolf in sheep's clothing behind the pulpit. But I think that this was folks in the congregation. Some of them begin to verbally say among the other partitioners that there was no such thing as a resurrection of the dead. And then Paul addresses that. If you'll let me say this, he almost becomes the lawyer on this the side of this man that had, or these men that have begun to spread this gospel. He said this basically, okay, if that's what you're going to choose to believe and that's what you're saying, let's examine this statement, let's examine this possibility, and let's just suppose for a minute that there is no resurrection. Understand this. Nowhere in this portion of Scripture is Paul saying that he does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He kind of just goes over here and says, all right, if that's what you want to spread and that's what you want to say and that's what you want to believe, you better follow this thing all the way to the end of its course, because what you're saying has some serious ramifications that follow it. And so Paul begins to go one by one and examine the possibility that there is no resurrection. And in verse number 13, he says this first of all. I'm going to give you several points. Listen, we've been reminded this morning, I don't think I have to convince anybody here today that there is, that Jesus Christ truly rose from the dead. And if you are sitting there in doubt, I would like you to take that doubt that maybe you don't believe that Christ rose from the dead, and I'd like you to set it alongside of what Paul challenges you to think about that, because folks, if we, as the conclusionary statement in verse number 19, if there is no resurrection of the dead, we are of all men most miserable. And I don't like to try to put into perspective or list in priority the doctrines of the Bible, but if I was to do that, somewhere way towards the top, if not at the very top, would be the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is pivotal to everything that the Bible teaches. It's pivotal that we believe, and listen, so many other doctrines rest on the foundation of that part of the gospel. Jesus Christ died on for our sins according to the gospel, was buried, and rose again. And so let's just for a minute, though, if you will, play the devil's advocate and join Paul and say, all right, let's suppose that there's no resurrection. What would the results of that be? Verse 13 says this. Number one, no resurrection, no Savior. No resurrection, then there cannot be a Savior. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Now in that little statement where it says, then is Christ not risen, the natural conclusion must be, hey folks, if there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ is not risen, guess where he is? Guess what he is? He is dead. That's what he's saying. Hey, if you're going to say, I don't believe in a resurrection, then what you're saying is that Jesus, his body, his bones, what's left of him, the dust that remains is somewhere laying around here, somewhere on this planet. And guess what? That means that there is no Savior. There is no Savior. You know what? You can't save somebody if you're dead. I mean, let's suppose that there was a lake and it was right beside a cemetery and somebody was out there swimming and they begin to drown. Listen, if there's nobody alive around, I guarantee you one thing, not one person is going to jump up out of that cemetery and run over and jump in that water and save that person. And you know what? There is no salvation. There is no gospel if Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead. And so Paul says, listen, that's preposterous. You can't say that there's no resurrection, because if you do, that means Jesus is dead. That means there's no longer a Trinity. There's just God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The Son of God is dead. He said, listen to me, you're destroying the foundations of everything that this Bible stands on. Listen, folks, I'm glad that there is a Savior. Boy, I've got good news for you today. If you've come in the door today and you know what? You don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm so glad that I can stand up here and say, based on the authority of the Bible, there is a living Savior. He has nail scars in his hands. He died on the cross for your sins. And not only that, he was buried. And not only that, the gospel says he rose again the third day. You know why he did that? He did it for you. I do serve a risen Savior. And you know what? You can pray to Jesus. You know why? He's alive. You can receive him as Savior. You know why? He's alive. You can believe what he did on the cross. Why? Because he validated what he did on the cross by rising again on the third day. So Paul says, first of all, if you don't want to believe in a resurrection, then guess what? You don't have a Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Secondly, he said this, if there's no resurrection, Paul says, then I don't have anything to preach. I really don't have anything to preach if there's no resurrection. Look, if you will, at verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. You know what Paul says? He said, listen, close the church down. Everybody that's a minister of the gospel, you know what? Go find something else to do. By the way, cancel visitation. Cancel soul winning. Forget all the Christian radio stations. Let's get them off the air. Hey, let's not sing any of the songs of Zion, any songs in the songbooks. Let's just do away with Christian songs because, you know what? We really don't have anything to sing about. We don't have any message to proclaim. We don't have any gospel to preach. There's no use to go to somebody's door. There's never use, no use to pass out a gospel tract because, you know what? Without the resurrection, there is no message. You see, and you know what? The resurrection is pivotal to everything that should come from the pulpit. I believe that. Let me say that again. The resurrection is pivotal to everything that should come to the pulpit. Now, you know what? When I surrendered to preach, I surrendered to preach the gospel. Now, there's a lot of other things that I preach, and we're to preach all of the oracles of God, the whole counsel of God. But it's amazing that just about no matter where you start and what subject you choose, it always finds a way to wind itself back up to Golgotha's hill and to the burial in those 3 days and to the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, I want to read a little story here. You say, Brother Jerry, how important is the resurrection to the preaching? And how often and how carefully should it be proclaimed? There's a man by the name of Dr. Leon Tucker, and he preached, was a contemporary of D.L. Moody. Matter of fact, it's fascinating when you read the history of D.L. Moody and some of these men. When D.L. Moody came and preached a citywide campaign, he would not only put up one tent, a lot of times he would put up several tents. And during the day, not in the evening services, but during the day, he would have many guest evangelists and pastors preaching on different subjects, and people could rotate around to the tents and hear or find out who's preaching once what. And by the way, in those days it was advertised in the paper. You might find the ball game schedule, but you could find the preaching schedule. By the way, the day after D.L. Moody preached in this country, the entire sermon usually was found word for word on the front page of every newspaper in this country. When Billy Sunday preached in a town, that local newspaper would print it. Where in the world is America gone? What has happened to America, you see? We've gotten away from that. But this Dr. Leon Tucker talks about how he preached in one of these tents while Dr. Moody was preaching. And then let me read his story. It says, Mr. Moody sent me to preach in a tent on North Avenue in Milwaukee. He had several tent meetings under his direction at that time. One night he came into my tent. I was preaching on the text, when they were come into a place called Golgotha, they crucified him. I said, now friends, at the end of my message, I said, now friends, I laid him on the cross tonight. Tomorrow night I will tell you what happened afterwards. The next day I went to a workers' conference and Mr. Moody saw me. He said, there you are, Tucker. You are in tent so-and-so. Don't go back anymore. I don't need your kind of preaching. He said, what have I done? I preached Christ and him crucified. I know you did, he exclaimed, but you left him on the cross last night and thought you would tell them the next night what happened afterwards. Don't you know a dead Christ on a cross never saved anybody? How do you know they will come back again? Don't ever preach on that text again without saying, God raised him from the dead. I think Dr. Moody had something here, you see, folks. You know what? If you're going to have a cross in the church, and we do, and we have three up here, and we have one there in the window, and we've got one on the front of the church, and I'm not against any of them, but you know what? It ought to be empty. It ought to be empty. You know what bothers me about going into churches that want to still have Jesus hanging there? Let me tell you what Dr. Moody said. He's right. He said this. He said, don't you know a dead Christ on a cross never saved anybody? See, folks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is pivotal to the gospel. Jesus just did not die on the cross for your sins, but he was buried and he rose again. And we need to preach all of the gospel, just not part of the gospel. So no resurrection, there's really nothing to preach. Let's shut the place down. But let me tell you something, there is something to preach. And that's this, Jesus died on the cross, according to the scriptures, for my sins, for your sins, was buried and rose again. Now Paul says this, he's kind of playing again, an advocate, if you will, or a
lawyer for this false doctor. He said, let's take it out to its natural conclusion. He said, number four, he said, no resurrection, your faith is in vain. If there's no resurrection, your faith is in vain. And at the end of verse 14, okay, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And I've already said this, so I'm not going to belabor it, but you know what? There's not one person in here that's saved if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead. There is not one person in this room that is saved. Your faith is empty, it's vain, it's misguided if Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead. Now remember, Paul's not saying that he believed that. He's just trying to say, hey, if you're going to go around flapping your jaws and spreading false doctrine, buddy, you better understand, you're not only dooming, if this is true and you want to propose this, then you ought to see where it puts you and where it puts everybody else. And he says, you know what, you're wasting your time in this matter of being saved, because the resurrection is a pivotal part of the gospel. Then he said this in the next verse. He said, if there's no resurrection, then the apostles and prophets are liars. Let me say that again. No resurrection, then the apostles and prophets are liars. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now he said this. He said, listen to me. What you're saying then is there's this mass conspiracy among the apostles of Jesus Christ. Those that saw him were eyewitnesses to the fact that he rose from the dead, those to whom he appeared. You're saying that we got together and we made this whole story up. Now, let me just go ahead and put this out to its natural conclusion. Say, Brother Jerry, you don't think it's possible, it's viable, you don't think in the history of mankind there's ever been a group of men that's got together to try to come up with some kind of a lie? Well, sure, that's happened. Don't you think, though, that most of the time when they do that, they intend to gain in some way from that lie? Are you listening to me? They intend to gain. I mean, if I'm going to get together with some men and say, hey, let's try to scam everybody, let's come up with this wild story, let's try to get a bunch of people to believe this, then in some way, it's going to be for my personal gain. But let me tell you what it cost the apostles, this story. Let me tell you what it cost the apostles as they went around all over Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world, preaching the death of Jesus Christ and his burial and his resurrection from the dead. Let me tell you what it cost them. It cost them their lives. It cost them their lives. You know, if you're getting ready, like the Apostle Peter, to be crucified upside down on a cross, and they're about to kill you in the prime of your life over something that's a lie, a scam, don't you think at that point you say, hey guys, let me just say something, you know? Hey, listen, we made the whole thing up. Why was he, listen, what did Peter gain? What did the apostles gain? What possible motive could be behind the fact that they say, listen, we walked with him for 3 years. We know who he was. And we watched him die on the cross. And he was buried. And listen, he rose again. I went there, Peter said. The tomb was empty. John went there with me. The tomb was empty. And we've spent our life and lost everything that we could gain on this world to go around and tell this story. And you know what? We've been persecuted for it. And we've been blasphemed for it. And we've been chased. And we've been in prison. And we've been beaten. But you know what? We can't not deny that it happened, because we were there. We saw him. We were in that upper room when all of a sudden the doors were shut for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and appeared right in the midst of us. And he said to us, listen, look at the scars in my hand and look at the scar on my side. And he fellowshipped with, he said, listen, we were there, we saw it. And you know what? They aren't lying about this, because there was no reason for them to lie. There was nothing for them to gain. No resurrection, then the apostles and prophets are liars. Then it goes on, I think number six, no resurrection, and we will never see our departed loved ones. If there's no resurrection, we will never again see our departed loved ones. Now, you know what? I felt like, and he didn't say this, but I felt like Paul might have said after that, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Amen. You're walking around telling people in the church there's no resurrection. Do you love your mama? Do you love your daddy? Were they Christian folks? Well, guess what? If Jesus was not a powerful enough to raise from the dead, and he was not the first fruits, then you know what? None of us is going to raise from the dead, and you'll never see him again. By the way, that kind of cancels out the need of heaven. I mean, why would Jesus promise to go and prepare a place for us if we weren't going to be there, and neither was he? Doesn't make much sense, does it? And so I think what Paul's doing is he's taking him to task here. He's saying, listen, stop this nonsense. whoever started this rumor, you better stop it, because you better hope, you better pray there was a resurrection. By the way, there was a resurrection, folks. And you know what? I'm going to get to see my grandparents that were saved. You know, I'm gonna be able to see people that we have laid to rest even in the last 2 or 3 years here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some of you long in some ways for heaven because you want to see mama, don't you? You're longing for heaven some ways because you want to see daddy. You're longing because maybe you've got a brother and sister that's already there. You long there, some of you, because you have children that are already there. And you long to see them. Let me tell you something. Don't start that nonsense around Blessed Hope Baptist Church about no resurrection. We're going to have us a reunion. I'm looking forward to the day when we are all... Listen, you know, folks, don't get all caught up in what's going on down here on earth. And don't hold on very tightly to things of this earth. Because 100 years from now, you know what? Not one person in this room, it's not going to matter what kind of house you lived in or how fancy a car you had or how many toys you had or what possessions you had. You know what's going to matter to you? That your loved ones were saved. That's what's going to matter to you. That's what you're truly going to care about. I can't wait till we get to heaven, I'll be honest with you. You know, we'll never get a phone call. Never get a phone call and from a doctor that says, you know what, I need you to come to my office because I've got some bad news for you. Never get a phone call like, you know, if in a preacher's house when the phone rings, there's a part of you that always just prays it's not bad news. And there's never a phone call where from a funeral director saying, I need to meet with you because one of your members have gone on to glory and I need to meet with you. You're never going to have that kind of thing. And thank God there is a resurrection. See, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, he has the power now to also raise us again from the dead. Be absent from the bodies, be present from the Lord. Folks, rejoice in that. You know, heaven's going to be a big family reunion. You got to make sure that you put your reservation in. Are you listening to me? I can't pass up an opportunity to preach without just pleading with you. Everybody in this room is in one or two boats. You're either saved or you're lost. And I'm not trying to judge you. You know, that's between you and God, but you ought to listen to me. I will say this. Everybody in this room at one time was lost. There's not one person in this room who's saved. It's saved because you deserve it. You're saved by the grace of Almighty God. And folks, if you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, can I say this? Every single person around you at one time was just like you are. And you know, they came maybe to a service like this and they heard the gospel and God spoke to their heart. And they came forward and said, you know what? Now's the time. I need to receive Jesus as my Savior. Well, I thank God that I can look back at a day when God convicted my heart of my sinful condition. And I put my pride aside and walked down an aisle and grabbed a preacher's hand and said, I'm lost, I need a Savior. And he took the Bible and showed me how to be saved. And I understood and believed the gospel, put my faith in what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross, that he was buried and rose again. I knew he'd done that for me, and I asked him to be my Savior. I look back at that day and say, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Praise the Lord. And you know, today is the day of salvation. If you're here without Jesus, you ought to receive him as your Savior today. Folks, listen to me. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then we're, as the Bible says, and we'll conclude with this, verse 19, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then every single one of us is doomed to a brief, miserable existence. Are you listening to me? You know, young people, maybe some of you haven't discovered this, but in a lot of ways, this life really is a veil of tears. And you know what? We don't walk around griping and complaining. We're thankful for the grace of Almighty God to give you the strength through every day. But you know what? There's just a lot of hard things in life. And the older you get, I'll just say this to you. The older I get, it sure doesn't get any easier, does it, folks? And you know, if we really look at this, you know, 3 score and 10 and say this is all there is. And after this, dust to dust. And you know what? There's no eternity. I don't really have a soul. There's no heaven that awaits me. You know what? There's not too much good news I can squeeze out of that scenario. I'm so glad that God in heaven is preparing a place. And he's offering salvation freely to every... Listen, aren't you tired of living out your short, doomed, miserable existence? Why don't you latch on to something that's going to extend it for all eternity? Why don't you latch on to something that's going to extend your life and give you everlasting life?
I mean, this 70, the Bible calls it, it says that our life is like a vapor, appears for a short time, vanisheth away, but eternity's forever. Gentlemen, sir, can I say this to you? If you're not saved, would you get saved today? If you're not saved, would you get saved today? Ma'am, could I say this to you? If you're not saved, would you get saved today? Young lady, young man, let me say this to you. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, you're not saved, would you get saved today? Brother Jerry, is it really that simple? Yes, it is. Is it for me? Yes, it is. Why not today? Why not today? Wouldn't it be great to lay your head on your pillow tonight and say, you know what, doesn't matter. Anything that happens to me from now on, you know what? I've got eternity in heaven waiting for me. Jesus Christ loves you. He loved you so much that He worked out the circumstances of your life so that you would be here at this place and this time to hear the glorious gospel. And many people across this room are reliving right now in their mind when God brought them to that decision, that crossroads. And they're so thankful that they said yes to Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just say this as a word of encouragement. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may have entered the building that way, but there's absolutely no reason to leave the building in that same condition. You can come forward. We have gentlemen here at the front that will greet you, and they will get somebody to take the Bible and explain carefully the gospel story and how easy it is to be saved. And it would be great for you to do that today. The Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking to hearts right now. And Christians, can we just join our hearts together and pray? And not only that, can we celebrate and rejoice in our hearts that Jesus Christ is alive? And look forward to what God is building for us and has for us out there in the future in eternity. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, there may be one, two, three, half dozen, there may be more than that that's sitting in the midst of us today, and they aren't saved, Lord. And Lord, I love them, and I know You love them. You proved it by dying on Calvary's cross. And Lord, a lot of folks come in, Lord, and they're not only carrying the burden of sin, they're carrying the burdens of life. And Lord, maybe they're just tired of carrying them all by themselves. And it's just a wonderful thing to become a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be able to look up to heaven and call You Father. It's a wonderful thing to know that You're with us each and every day of our lives, there to give us strength and help. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's trying to live this life alone, and Lord, that they would come and receive You today as their Savior so that they could look forward one day to everlasting life. Thank You, Jesus, for raising from the dead. Because if that were not true, we would be of all men most miserable. And I pray You'd speak to hearts during the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing a few verses of invitation song. If you're here without Jesus as your Savior, as we begin to sing, just as soon as the piano begins to play, would you step to the nearest aisle and make your way up to the front? Christians, you may want to come and pray for someone, or you may just want to come and kneel at an altar and thank the Lord that He is a risen Savior. Whatever God's done in your heart as we begin to sing.